Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Wrap-Up Podcast. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am, of course, joined by the amazing Lita. How are you doing, Lita?
I'm really good. I'm in my hometown. I'm visiting Pittsburgh. I have a climbing lesson at a brand new indoor gym after this, so I'm going to be totally, like, in the zone.
Are you going to meet ninjas and get them on our podcast?
This brand new gym in Pittsburgh that is not a ninja gym. It's just a bouldering gym. Probably not, but you know, maybe they'll be there.
Well, I found it funny. I liked this whole thing. We're talking about the Denver qualifying round from American Ninja Warrior, and they really made it seem like Denver. It's just the land of climbers. Everybody is a climber in Denver.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matt said that it's a hotbed for all manners of outdoor activities, which is like a weird way of talking about it. He's like, people run, they bike, they climb. Like, yeah, I guess it is his hometown, so he would know.
It really reminds me of like a fantasy novel or something, where like Denver is the land of all the climbers, and you go over to, you know, some other land
to Cleveland. Cleveland is the home of sports.
Yes. We all know that Lita agrees with that take.
Yeah, well, here I am in the actual hottest sports town in America, or sportest hot town, whatever. And I'm going to climb, so it seems like Pittsburgh really has everything.
I guess so. We also get a heads up that Meghan Martin wants to be the first woman to make it up the Warped Wall in 4 straight years, which, again, seems like a pretty specific statistic.
Yeah, and they tease it like 4 times and it doesn't happen, which is strange. They're like, 4 buzzers in a row, and then it just doesn't occur.
And then we also have the guy who married the original Bachelorette.
Yes, we do. We're just like leading off with all of these teasers. Are we talking about him now, or are we waiting?
That's how we teased. That's how it was teased on the show.
We usually don't talk about the teasers.
Well, you know, sometimes you talk about the teaser. This stood out to me. I was like, "What, dude from Bachelorette? Is this what people were talking about in our group chat?"
This is what the group chat was about. Well, no, we were talking about the episode of The Bachelor that was on last night. Then we were saying you should interview this guy from The Bachelor, and then I was saying that you need to learn about The Bachelor because now you are forced to acknowledge its existence because Ryan was on this episode.
Actually, it sounds like I need to learn about The Bachelorette.
Oh my god, yeah. So. Okay, well, we were talking about The Bachelorette anyway, because that's what season is happening right now. But yes, so now you are forced to enter the Bachelorverse, and I'm so happy.
All right, well, let's go over this course. We had, first off, the floating steps, as always. Then the ring swing, which we see a bigger version of in stage 2 in Vegas. Then a new obstacle called the bouncing spider, which really it combines 2 of the more challenging, I think, obstacles, like finicky obstacles, the jumping spider and the let's jump down onto a trampoline and try to grab onto big floating poles
thing. Yeah, that would have been a better name for the obstacle.
I think so, too. I'm really great at naming obstacles and naming podcasts.
Yeah, you're really good at naming everything.
Yeah. So this is a tricky obstacle here. And then we move on to the paddle boards, which was one of the more difficult agility obstacles. We saw a lot of people go down in Philadelphia because of it. And then we get to the rail runner, which is another really difficult obstacle here. They have to grab on to these handlebars and kip their way up a slanted slope that is kind of slippery, and they need to be able to do it like very quickly or else they'll just slide back down. And then not only that, but then they have to get to the top of that and then make a transition to a more difficult set of handles that are completely vertical and grab onto those and do the same thing and get up some more inclines before finally dismounting and getting to the warped wall to finish the course. This was a very difficult set of obstacles here, very difficult qualifying course. I thought that we had a difficult one a couple of weeks ago, but this one probably the most difficult one we've seen, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's reflected by the number of finishers we had. Also, I could not for the life of me remember the name of the rail runner this whole episode. I don't know why.
It's such a good name.
It's really annoying.
The rail runner, it's perfect. It's an alliteration. It just flows off with the tongue.
I guess. I just kept writing the road runner and I was like, that can't be right. Like,
of course it's not right.
I know, but I don't know why I couldn't remember the name of it, so it annoyed me. So that's why I don't like this obstacle.
Rail Runner is great. Rail Runner is the best name of the entire thing right now.
Of all the obstacles?
Well, of all the new obstacles.
Okay.
No shade on Kevin.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry to Wingnut Inventor and our good friend to both of them.
All right. The first runner of the night was Sierra Suter, the 23-year-old, one of the Suter Seven. All seven siblings are going to compete. And this felt like a bit of a waste to me, since the one that organized it was the only one that actually made it far on the courts.
More like the subpar seven. This was so annoying.
Oh, my.
The only notable thing about this girl is that she looks like Margot Robbie. Like, she looks exactly like Margot Robbie. It's weird.
Totally.
She's from superhero things. She was Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad, which I didn't see. But
neither did I.
Well, she hosted SNL. Anyway, she's really pretty. She looks exactly like this girl, which I assume is why they showed her and, like, not many of the other siblings.
They chose the prettiest.
Yeah, they chose the best one and also the prettiest one.
There you go. They did this thing, and I'm sure this was put on by the producers, so I can't blame them, but they, like, cycled through it. They each had, like, oh, I'm the funny one.
Yeah, they were, like, the goofy Spice one. Girls.
I'm the smart one. Like, oh, man.
Or, well, I don't know if they were, like, Spice Girls. They were almost like the Seven Dwarves more.
I guess so, yeah.
There are seven of them.
Also, they all look the same.
Yeah. They're, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, all look exactly the same, except for the oldest one who had, like, a beard.
Yeah, it is kind of odd. And, like, this is just one of those families that I get the sense that they, like, don't have any friends outside of each other.
Yeah, they're like a little cult, the Suter Seven.
Yeah, like, they all just are blonde and attractive and athletic together, but they don't actually hang out with anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, they seem like perfectly nice people, but, you know.
Sure, whatever.
Suter Seven. She goes down pretty quickly on the ring swing. She gets caught up and isn't able to make the first transition there. Then next up was Robbie Doman, the 33-year-old Home Depot manager. He was a vet from Iraq who got injured and is here to take on the course.
Yeah, so he wants to be, like, an inspiration to injured veterans, stuff like that. Not to disrespect him, but haven't we seen this before?
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. But, like, I feel like we've seen it, like, pretty recently. I don't know. This felt familiar.
Well, it's, you know, unfortunate that this is a common story, I guess.
I mean, yeah, obviously, I'm not saying, like, ugh, this again. I'm just saying, like, you know, it seemed like, you know, when they had the all military episode, this was a lot of what we saw.
Yes. He does get through the bouncing spider despite his bad knee, but he isn't able to get through the paddle boards. It seems to really slow him down there, and he goes out there. Then we have a montage. First was Will Washington, who goes down at the floating steps. Then Natasha Pfeiffer, who wanted to put a smile on her young son's face, so she blew him a kiss before splashing down.
This was weird because in, like, the opening, like, tonight on American Ninja Warrior, we see her, like, in a confessional, like, sobbing, and then, like, her son, and then she gets montage. It's very strange.
Finally, Luke Halterman, who calls himself the Ninja Skywalker, looked as though he was going to get through the bouncing spider, but at the last second, he turned to the dark side.
Yeah, love a Star Wars reference.
Oh, yeah. Next was Nate DeHaan, the 30-year-old from Alaska. He flew to Nick Hansen's place because that was the closest, quote-unquote, ninja gym to him in Alaska. And, man, this felt like breaking news to me because Nick Hansen then says, yeah, he's my best friend in the world.
And Grant, like, McCartney.
Whoa! Yeah. Grant McCartney is crying in a corner somewhere right now. Like, he traveled much further and he doesn't own a plane like Nate does. Like, this is not cool, right?
Yeah. Oh, I completely felt sorry for Grant and felt hurt on his behalf. I know what it's like for someone to have another best friend that isn't you. And I can understand how it can be really hurtful.
I'm glad you and Grant can finally find some common ground.
Finally. Yeah. Okay. A couple things from this package. One, I liked how they said that Nick Hansen, they say he's probably the most well-known ninja from Alaska. Probably. Who else is in that conversation?
Well, Grant could technically say he's from Alaska.
He's the island
there.
Ninja. He's from Hawaii. That's his whole thing. And the other thing is that in addition to being a bush pilot, this guy is a dog musher. So obviously I was not rooting for him.
I knew that was coming, actually.
No, none of that.
Yeah, he spends way too much time on the pipes on the bouncing spider, but finally manages to get off of them. But unfortunately, it really saps a lot of his strength. He also falls at the end of the paddle boards, but manages to stay up on the landing platform. But he was way too gassed for the rail runner, and he is not able to get any purchase on it and goes down. This is our first look at the rail runner, and man, it looks difficult right away.
Yeah, and Akbar mentions a higher altitude in Denver, which is like maybe a good point. Have you been to Denver?
I have not.
Okay, so I haven't either, but I've been to Albuquerque, which is an equal altitude. And I didn't actually notice a difference when I went running, but I wonder if it's like something this exhausting, if like that actually takes a toll on these athletes.
So next up was John Stewart, the 55-year-old. He has taken a year off of work. I want to take a year off of work. How come I can't take a year off of work?
Are you not doing that right now?
I'm still working. I'm not taking a year off to travel around the world.
Okay, well, then you should live my lifestyle. That's what I'm about to do. Not for a year, but just be less employed. It's not that hard.
John Stewart, he's taking a trip around the world. He took a year off of work, and he's going around the world with his family, and he actually decided to leave his family in the middle of their trip. They're still in France, to come all the way back to the U.S. to compete on American Ninja Warrior. And he's also been dealing with some tendonitis, so a lot of disadvantages coming in here. Dedication to leave your family in France, unless he was just kind of needing a break from a year around the world with his family.
I guess, first of all, this trip around the world really seemed to be a trip around France. Like, they showed the photos and it was like all just different cities in France. Second thing, his son is there watching him and filming it. Why wasn't his son invited on this family trip around the world / France?
Maybe his son also needed a break from the family.
Yeah, I guess that's possible. I don't know. I felt kind of bad for his wife and daughter. Like, I would be sad.
He did say that his wife was like encouraging him to go. Maybe she needed a break from him. You know, traveling around the world with your family, I think that's a lot of time to be traveling by itself. It's a stressful thing.
Yeah.
Traveling in France, also stressful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty place. But, you know, can be stressful. Who knows?
Okay.
Maybe this is just. But you're right. You know, it did seem like they were spending a lot of time in France. But you know, I guess traveling around the world in a year, you're probably going to spend a lot of time in any given place.
I guess depends how literally you're taking around the world.
I guess so. Akbar says that's some serious dedication when you leave the Louvre to come here, Oshante, or something along those lines.
Oshante.
It was some French word. I wrote it down.
Maybe he said enchanté.
Enchanté, I don't know.
Okay, well, that would make sense.
Maybe as our French expert, you should have written it down.
I am a French expert. I assume he said enchanté. And by expert, I mean took it in high school and college and middle school.
Yes. All right. Well, he is unable to grab the pipe on the bouncing spider. He tried to go for the middle one, and the other one seemed to like get in his way, and he wasn't able to get any purchase, and he goes down here. So he ends up leaving his family on that trip for nothing.
Yeah, it's very sad. But according to you, John Stewart didn't seem to like us very much. So I'm not really that mad at this.
John Stewart was in the audience in Vegas, and I don't know if he left. It just we were being our normal selves, cracking some snarky jokes, and he was standing in front of it. He didn't seem very amused.
He was like
jokes.
Directly in front of us, and it was like 5 a.m. and we were being snarky as we are. He didn't seem to enjoy it.
He is a worldly guy. He has no time for the snarkiness, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's all it was.
No tolerance for our terrible banter.
Yeah. probably not a listener of our podcast. next up, we get a Suitor 7 montage, all about that Suitor 7. We Amy and Tessa, they go down on the ring swing. The oldest sister goes down on the floating steps. The oldest brother, Josh, he makes it to the third obstacle. He's made it the furthest so far. But they've all gone out within the first three obstacles. And then we finally get to Ryan Suter, the 32-year-old. They call him Hercules because he doesn't know his own strength. He's the guy that organized this whole thing, which just really seems like a way for him to get a story to get himself on, right?
Yeah. This is the real NASCAR drivers of families, where like all of them are bad at this, but we just see so many of them.
Yes. And he also has a condition. I forget the name of it, but it's basically you have sweaty palms. And Akbar says he has it too.
Oh, that doesn't seem like a great quality for a climber, but...
Yeah, Akbar said when he made it to the rail run, he was like, oh, the sweaty palms are going to, you know, be a disadvantage here.
Huh, yeah. And also, like, right off the bat, they're like, up next, we have Ryan, who's the best athlete of all the suitors. It's like, yeah. Are you allowed to just say that?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want if you're Akbar or
Matt.
Akbar says, Hercules, 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 nice. On the ring swing.
Yeah. He also says, Greek mythology. I knew Hercules was strong. I didn't know he was smooth like that.
Yes. Yes, he did. On the bouncing spider. He was really having fun with that Hercules thing.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite Disney movies. I'm not a big Disney person, but do you like Hercules?
Sure.
Have you seen it?
I have played Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, my God. No.
It's a great segment in Kingdom Hearts.
Okay. Well, it's a great film. Has really good music.
Okay. So he actually puts both hands on one side of the bouncing spider, which I don't think I've ever seen, at least on the jumping spider. It's interesting strategy.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. Wait, what do you mean he puts both hands on one side of it?
So he makes the jump and then he gets off center and he has to put both hands on one side of the wall.
Oh.
Instead of having both hands out. It was very interesting. Yeah. He ultimately fails at the transition on the rail runner. He didn't lock the bar in that little notch and wasn't able to get any purchase for the transition.
Did he end up qualifying?
Let's see. I do believe he did end up qualifying. Yes, he did.
Okay, that would have been a momentous waste of time.
Yeah.
If he did not qualify.
Next up was Tammy McClure, the 33-year-old wine person. She calls herself the wine ninja. She runs
the wine
winery.
Warrior.
Wine warrior? Okay, all right.
That's better.
I guess that is better with the alliteration. Mm-hmm. But I was just feel like this is the same thing as the pizza ninja, right? She's just advertising her winery.
No, how dare you? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, because you're such a fan of wine.
Listen, I have a deep, dark confession to my listeners, which is that your humble co-host really enjoys wine a lot. So this was really exciting for me. I was all in on the wine warrior. I want a wine warrior t-shirt.
Oh my. This is what it takes. Pizza wasn't good enough for you, but if it's wine, then you're good.
No, I don't like pizza. I like wine.
All right. I'm just okay. Putting it out there. Pizza is greater than wine.
Okay, you don't even know. You don't know wine. You don't even drink wine. Okay. Also,
you
she
don't
has
eat pizza.
I have eaten pizza in the past.
All right. I don't think that counts. You need to current consumer of pizza.
I used to like, well, I didn't like it, but I used to eat it, but it was gross. I don't like it. This is going to be, people are going to get so mad at me for this. But I do love wine. And also she, at her winery in Idaho, she has wine and yoga workshops. So like this woman is my hero.
It did seem like the kind of thing that people would be into, wine and yoga.
Yeah, people like me who are super basic.
Yeah. She was also a champion triple jumper, which I thought was the most interesting part of who she was. Jumping for life.
That was definitely the most interesting part for me.
I was also a champion triple jumper in high school.
Oh, wow.
And by champion, I mean I was in the top three at my school.
Yeah, so you're a top triple jumper according to their definition of top.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, there were three of us. So, you know, it was a pretty impressive stat. So,
well, I am a top wine drinker. So,
OK, she flew off of the ring swing. She goes all the way to the springboard for the bouncing spider with her dismount. It's pretty crazy. And then gets all the way to the rail runner where, again, just it's devastating. She can't get up that incline and goes down into the water. But does manage to qualify here.
Yeah. And Akbar says she's like a fine Cabernet. She just gets better with time.
Yes. And not only did she qualify, she actually qualified in the top 30, not just in the top five for women. So impressive run here from the wine warrior.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to have an intervention as a result of this podcast.
Next was a bouncing spider montage. It's taken a lot of people out either in the beginning, in the first part of the jumping spider part. in the middle, trying to get through that gap, or at the end with the trampoline. I think most of it was at the end. Let's be real.
Yeah. Well, those are the three options. the beginning, the middle, or the end.
Next up was Andrew Duncan, the 23-year-old electrical engineer. He has been watching since middle school. He's a super fan, and he has a really crazy mother.
Yeah, and this was another weird thing where, like, before the commercial break, this was teased, and I definitely thought that, like, his mom was going to be the person running.
Because
it was just, like, you know, coming up, and it was just all, like, his mom. But I couldn't see, like, how old she was or whatever, like, from the little teaser. I wasn't really, like, paying attention, and I just, like, assumed it was going to be her. And then, like, we actually got the package. I was like, oh, this is just, like, one of the contestants' mothers, and he must be so boring that his whole personality is that he has a mother who's more charismatic than he is.
They said, like, oh, he's got a crazy mom.
Okay, well, I wasn't listening. I don't really pay attention to the, like, coming ups very often.
Well, he says he hopes his mom doesn't pass out. And this, they return to this in the exit interview.
Yeah, they seem very concerned about this.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just glad she didn't pass out. And she's like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't pass out too. I feel like I'm about to pass out. Like, what?
Get a grip.
What's happening? What's happening here? Why all of a sudden are people concerned about people passing out?
I guess if you get, like, really excited, then, like, that's a thing that can happen. I don't know. Maybe she has chronic low blood sugar.
Maybe. It seemed like there was something else. Like, she clearly has passed out in the past for them to be worrying
excitement.
This much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you think it's a joke when he says it in the start, but then they're both talking about it after. So it's like, okay, something is happening here.
Yeah. I liked Andrew, though.
Yeah. He has a lot of climbing experience. And like I said, they're like, yes, he's from Denver. So obviously he has a lot of climbing experience.
Obviously.
Yes, it seems like they're going out of their way to spotlight a lot of these super fans, and I'm really liking it.
Yeah, also electrical engineer at Bucknell, so that's pretty impressive. I would marry him.
Oh, there you go. He ticks all the boxes.
Yeah, Bucknell is a good school. I'm impressed.
you're like a mother. Like, he goes to a good school. He's an electrical engineer.
I'm just channeling what my mother would say if she had watched this with me.
All right. Well, he is the complete opposite of his mother. He's like completely stoic on the course. Well, she goes crazy on the sidelines.
Yeah. I don't know. It was fine, though. He did well.
Yes, he went for a very long dismount on the final incline of the Rail Runner and is the first to get through it and the first finisher of the night, where he finally shows some emotion. And then we get his mom talking about passing out.
Yeah, she's the one that Christine is interested in interviewing.
Yeah. Then we get another teaser. Hey, Lita, have you heard of this guy named Jake Murray? Have you heard that he's fast and he's funny?
No, I've never heard of him. Say more.
Well, get ready.
Is there some kind of snack that he's famous for eating or something?
Maybe. You'll just have to wait and find out.
Okay.
There may be some children involved as well who may also be eating their snacks.
Strange way of saying that.
Next, we have another montage. First was Megan May, who was painted like a cyborg. And I was like, hey, this looks like the logo for the Taran show.
Did you fall in love with her?
No.
Okay, fine.
I can't fall in love with my own kind, Lita.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'll be talking more about the Taran show at the end of the podcast. So she's painted like a cyborg. They call her the Meganator, and she got terminated by the ring swing. Then we had Ben Antoine, who rolled past the paddle boards, but went down at the Rail Runner. And then finally, Cannon Meyer, a massage therapist at 5'3", he came up short on the Bouncing Spider. That one seems
mean. That was a mean one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, unless, like, being short is, like, his thing, it seems a little mean.
I guess. Also, 5'3 is not that short.
Well.
Just saying.
Next up was Ryan Arnold, the 39-year-old ninja trainer. They point out that at one point he had gone further than any other competitor in Ninja Warrior history. He made it to the final obstacle on stage 3 in Vegas. And, man, I still feel like Ryan Arnold, somebody who can win it all. But he always catches some bad breaks, and this was not an exception here, smashing his face on the Rail Runner.
Yeah. Also, I want to say I loved this package, but obviously, like, I didn't. There were parts of it that I didn't love, but it was a really good package, I thought.
It was a funny story. He basically says, all right, I've been with my girlfriend for 5 years. And I had the idea, I'm going to propose. I'm going to do this big romantic thing. We're going to go, like, hiking or something and then propose.
They're going to go watch the sunrise on a mountaintop.
Yeah. And then he overslept.
Yeah. So. I mean, if I was his future fiance, if I was his girlfriend, I cannot imagine like anything that would make me more angry than this. I think probably because I have
like, why not just do it the next day?
Yeah. Right? So there's like, that. And like, what did he reserve the mountain and he missed his reservation? Like, I don't understand why this was. So I would be mad about that. And then like that I missed out on like the super romantic proposal. And also like, I have a thing about like people being late for things. And so this would just like make me like call off this whole thing.
Well, maybe he wanted it to be on a particular day, and he was busy ninja training. It really wiped him out.
This is
he
only day off.
Yeah. He ends up improvising and goes to like this nature park instead. And in the middle of his proposal, gunshots go off. There are ducks dying all around him. They're in the middle of a hunting session.
And this is the point where I'm like, nope. Do over. We're going to the mountain tomorrow. This is not my proposal. There will not be dead birds falling from the sky while I am being proposed to.
Well, she did say that if he doesn't make it up the final stage in Vegas, then she's out.
Yeah, it's just the wedding's not going to happen. I love her. I love Shonda. I hope she gets on the course someday.
Yes, hopefully. He's made it to stage two in Vegas every season he's competed. And Matt said that last year, Brian was vomiting. He was so nervous.
Oh, I missed that.
But... Yeah, he was bent over, vomiting, so nervous. This time, he's a lot more cool and collected. Glad to know that Brian is feeling a little better, even though he does ultimately go out on something that he probably is worried about going out on, something like a freak accident like this.
It's that marriage bump. Daniel Gill got it. And I don't know. We've had a lot of proposals and engagements and marriages this season. So that's why he's confident, because he knows that you get better when you get married.
It's very much so. So he's very smooth through the course. He does the Rail Runner better than we've seen anyone else do it. But he gets a little too much power on the transition, like more so than most people were able to. And because of that, his nose in particular just smacks right into this thing. And you could see it was a little cut up at the end. And it just totally dazes him and he's not able to make the grab. However, he is the fastest to the Rail Runner of anyone the entire episode. So he does manage to qualify in ninth place. for the best qualifier in the history of American Ninja Warrior for having not completed the qualifying course.
Yes. I am both surprised and happy that people did not consistently whack their nose on this thing.
Yes. Akbar is like, oh man, he might have a broken nose here.
This made me nervous for the rest of the night every time someone did that transition.
Yeah. And this is actually the first time Brian has ever fallen on a qualifying course. So, unfortunate.
Yeah, but he still moves on.
Yeah, it happens to everyone.
Yeah.
Next, we have another montage. First was Kelsey Kautz.
Maybe.
A track star. She was a former high jumper, but couldn't get over the ring swing. Then Pierce Fraser, who looked like an American flag. The All-American got wet when he was bounced off the bouncing spider.
No, the All-American got all wet.
Oh, right. I missed the whole point of the thing. The All-American got all wet. All right. Billy Napparati was next, and he traveled all the way from Guam to compete, but he traveled a few too many feet on the paddle boards and went right off of the edge.
Yeah.
Next, we get Ryan Sutter, the 42-year-old bachelor person. He millions of people watched his wedding on television, and now he's part of a ninja family.
Okay. He's not a bachelor person. He's a firefighter. And also, he was on The Bachelorette.
Okay.
So, well, just giving credit where credit's due.
Wouldn't he be a bachelor on The Bachelorette?
No, they're not. Only the lead is called The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
But on a technical basis, he's a bachelor.
He was a bachelor when he was on the show, yeah, but that's not, like, the terminology that they use. It's just, like, contestants or men or... guys.
Okay, I do have a question. They said he was on the first season.
Yes,
was
he was.
The first season The Bachelorette or The Bachelor? Which came first?
The Bachelorette, because he won. So you can, like, Trista was The Bachelorette. She was the first one. And, oh, are you asking me if there was a season of The Bachelor before that?
Right. Which came first?
Oh, that's a good question, because that was, like, way before my time. I think that The Bachelor was first. I believe that there was one season of The Bachelor before there was a season of The Bachelorette.
Because that sounds like tricky wording. First season, yeah, if it was really the second season.
But it is weird like that, though, because, yeah, there was a season of The Bachelor before that. Yeah, because Trista came in second on the first season. So it is weird because, like, right now we're on, like, season 14 of The Bachelorette, but there have also been 13 seasons of The Bachelor. So it's really, like, season 20-something. I don't know if those are the actual numbers, but something like that.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I find the whole concept of the, like, she came in second on The Bachelor, and then, I don't know, that's just a very funny concept to me.
Well, that's how it always works. The next Bachelor or Bachelorette is always a loser from the previous season. But this is, the reason that I couldn't remember if there was a season before that is because Trista and Ryan are still together. Like, and the first guy, Alex, like, he's not still with that girl. And, like, it's really not common for bachelors to stay together, like, for bachelor winners to stay together. And the fact that they've done it for so long, for, like, 15 years, and they have two kids together and seem really happy, like, they were just a really likable couple, and they seem really genuine. And this was, like, you know, kind of the first couple of reality TV at the time. Like, they showed that, like, this process can work, and they were someone that was, like, at least in my household, like, very beloved, because my mom always loved The Bachelorette.
Well, there you go. Now they're a ninja family, and he trains all around the house.
Yeah, and I liked how they were saying, like, this is, like, something that we can watch with our kids because, like, they don't understand the Bachelor. Like, they can't relate to this world. So, like, this is how they're getting their kids into reality TV, which is a noble cause.
I still don't understand The Bachelor, so I can definitely relate to the kids.
Yeah, I know. It's great. I was so happy to see Ryan here.
All right. Well, he unfortunately doesn't hit the tramp right and goes down on the bouncing spider. His knees buckle there, and he goes out.
Yeah.
Matt says he will not be getting a rose.
Yes. It was also funny right at the beginning when he goes to the start line. Matt is like, if you're a TV fan, you'll probably recognize this guy. And I was like, guess Taryn's not a TV fan. Guess that finally settles it.
Oh, my. All right. Well, next we have another montage. First was Dan Holglin, who was out on the floating steps. Then our good friend Noah Kaufman, who is unfortunately out on the bouncing spider, which means he will not be qualifying for the city finals. No good.
Yeah. Well, Noah said on social media, like, he, before this episode aired, he said that, like, he had not been really able to train this year. He's just too busy with work.
Yeah. He's a busy guy. He's a doctor. He runs the whole, Wolfpack stuff. He helps get us guests. He's a busy guy.
Yeah. He sells t-shirts, which, yeah, I have one now, and I'm sad that I didn't bring it home to wear for this podcast, but I did order a Wolfpack shirt and I love it.
Yeah. Overall, this is kind of a rough episode for the Wolfpack, but, it happens.
It was a little all over the place. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, most of them made it through,
yeah,
but, not in the prettiest way.
Yeah.
We also had Matt Wilder, one of the stars of Team Ninja Warrior, who also unfortunately goes out here on the paddle boards and also does not qualify for the city finals. This is a disappointing montage here.
Yeah. Matt Wilder is so confusing because, like, we just never really see him do well on the show, but he's just, like, the best Team Ninja Warrior competitor, like, ever. Like, why is he exclusively good at Team Ninja Warrior? I don't understand.
It happens. Then we get Dan Yeager, who finally is spotlighted here, the 34-year-old salon owner. This was a really sweet package here. He was adopted when he was five years old from Korea. And because of going on American Ninja Warrior, he finds out that his biological father has actually been looking for him for 13 years and was able to find him through American Ninja Warrior. And they got to meet up, and it was very, very adorable.
Yeah, it was. And this was so nice. And not just because I'm happy to see Dan Yeager finally get spotlighted, because he is, like, the most underrated member of the Wolfpack. He's always just, like, there and, like, doesn't really get his own story. But this was so amazing because, like, we get so much about how, oh, American Ninja Warrior changes lives, it inspires people, but this is just, like, on a very logistical way the show changed his life, just because, like, he got that exposure and his dad was able to finally, like, Google him and find out anything about him.
Yeah, it was really cool. And they showed the clips of, like, his dad attempting some ninja, yeah, obstacles, and it was cool. It was a sweet package. Glad to see this from Dan. And good to see that he does well here on the course as well. His legs do buckle on the trampoline on the bouncing spider, but he does manage to hang on, and he's very smooth on the rail runner. He becomes our second finisher of the night.
Yeah, the rail runner just like doesn't even look like anything to him. Like yeah. It just doesn't even look challenging. Akbar uses his classic moves like Jaeger, which I think he's used every single time Dan Jaeger has ever been on the course.
Yeah, my immediate reaction to that is, like, what is that in reference to? But I think I've asked that of you before. So
but you don't remember?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's like a Maroon 5 song.
Yeah,
or something.
Moves like Jagger.
Jagger, that's what it was.
Like
all right.
Jagger. He also does a little bell at the top of the warp wall, like a little dance move.
There you go.
That's adorable.
All right. Next up was Sam San. We haven't seen him in a while, actually. The 50-year-old gym owner. He had a back surgery 6 weeks before competing, and he was barely able to move for 3 months before then. So, yikes.
Yeah. Yikes is right. They didn't montage him, and he had a great run, and this made me happy.
Yeah, he gets through the bouncing spider, gets really far on the rail runner. It seemed like he might make it, but then ultimately goes down that incline and fails here. And he does actually manage to qualify, though. So we will be seeing Sam San in the city finals. I think this is the first time he's qualified for city finals in a couple of years.
Yeah. And all it took was his back being reconstructed to make it happen.
Well, his introduction to American Ninja Warrior was that very compelling run where he like injures himself and then still completes the course. So he's fraught with injury, but fraught with determination to pull through anyway.
Yes.
Next up was Ven Johns, the 42-year-old bull rider. And Lita's immediately rolling her eyes.
I didn't even write this guy's name down. I don't care about this.
He's a bull rider. He wants to come on American Ninja Warrior. He comes out on the course. This is actually a weird run because it was kind of late in the episode for somebody to go down at Bouncing Spider, but he does. I really wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, he hit his face and I was satisfied.
Oh, my.
Why does he have a son that looks the same age as him, too?
Because you hate him. And when you hate people, they have sons that look the same as them.
Yeah. Well, he's not my favorite, if you can believe it.
Well, despite Lita's hate, he goes down at the bouncing spider here. And we're told we're on pace for the fewest finishers ever for qualifying. And again, as soon as we hear this said, it's like, all right, so we're going to have the fewest finishers ever for qualifying.
Yes, for sure. You had no thoughts about this man?
I actually didn't. I literally, like, this is the least amount of notes I've ever written down for somebody.
Yeah.
This might have been when Dan Giesling tweeted about my podcast.
I was extremely surprised that he had nipple rings. He just didn't seem like that kind of person.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone is that kind of person, to be honest.
They very much are, but not cowboy bull torturers.
Yeah. It just feels like inviting pain.
Yeah. It's just something that I generally
for a bull
like,
rider, I mean.
Oh, well, maybe he wants to relate to the bull or something.
The very first concert I went to was Ozfest, right?
I don't even know what that is.
Ozzy Osbourne's music festival. I believe it's been discontinued. But there was, I have this traumatic memory from, I was but a child, and people love to mosh around in those things. Mm-hmm. And there was this huge guy, like very wide and muscular, who stumbled out of a mosh pit with one nipple pierced, mm-hmm. and one with no ring or whatever you want to call it, but bloodied.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yes. And at that point on, I was just like, that is never a thing that I want to try.
It just seems like an indicator of a subculture that a bull rider would not be a part of.
You never know. Bull riders, they're thrill seekers.
I guess. I don't know. Whatever. I do not support bull riding as an institution, in case people cannot tell.
Okay. Well, we have another montage after this. First was David Peterson, who goes out on the paddle boards. Then we got Nick Kostreski, the KO ninja, who becomes our third finisher of the night.
I liked the joke that they made for David Peterson. He was he's a Boy Scout director who is not prepared for the paddle boards, because their slogan is always be prepared.
I didn't even get that.
You have to have some insider knowledge of the Boy Scouts.
Oh, my. I wonder how many of those jokes that I just don't even get, because it doesn't sound like a joke. Then finally, we had Jerry D. Aurelio, who gets to the rail runner and manages to qualify within the top five for the women, but also qualifies in the top 30. So I don't know why they specified for the women.
Yeah, and Jerry is in real life really good friends with Meghan Martin. Just a fun fact that I know from Instagram. Go.
All right. Then we got Michael Stanger, the 33-year-old ninja gym director, I believe it said. His wife has been in a wheelchair for 4 years. He got that really heartbreaking package a couple of years ago when he manages to complete the qualifying course. And it was all about how his wife seemed in very poor sorts. And we have a very happy update that she has gone through extensive physical therapy. She's been working out a lot with her husband and is feeling much better. Her body is healing itself. I don't know to what extent this is. We only got, you know, from her that she's now up and walking. I don't know what that means for the illness as a whole, mm-hmm. but at the very least, she's doing much, much better and is, for the first time, able to stand and cheer him on in the sidelines, which is very touching.
Yeah, they said that they just made a change to, like, organic, healthy, like, holistic remedies and really intense physical therapy. And it just, like, they noticed a change immediately, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, doing physical therapy, doing, you know, physical exercising and stuff is always something that is going to be beneficial to you, but it seems like it really has been extremely beneficial to Michael's wife, and that's it's very, very heartwarming.
Yes, this is really nice.
Yes, so she even works out with him now. She's standing on the sideline with the kids. It's really great. He does very well here. He goes all the way to the rail runner before going down on that transition and does, in fact, make it to the city finals.
Yay.
All right. Next was another montage. We got Matt Dolce, the flying pharmacist who goes out on the rail runner. Then Brandon Tomacini, a Native American who also manages to go to the rail runner and qualify. And then finally we got Drew Knapp, we know this guy, right? Where do we know this guy from?
I don't know. He's just like around.
he was very impressive last year. I remember him being very impressed. I don't remember what his story was, but he was very impressive last year and becomes the, third finisher of the night.
Yeah.
Yes. Very impressive. There weren't many qualifiers here, so congratulations to Drew. And then we get Lauren Ball, the 30-year-old gym owner who's gunning for the fastest time. Great to see Lauren get spotlighted here. They actually managed to point out that he has been one of the few to compete on every season.
Yeah, they also point out that he is out here looking like Justin Bieber with his silver jacket on.
You know, it happens.
That's not a bad thing.
Everyone's accidentally looked like Justin Bieber before.
Are you speaking from experience?
No, I just feel like that's probably a common quality.
Okay. I mean, like, you're a blonde person that I feel like someone at some point, if you had the wrong haircut, might make that comparison.
Luckily, it hasn't happened, but I imagine it will now.
Okay.
Akbar says, this dude is balling right now when he's on the rail runner.
Too easy, Akbar.
Yeah. He does manage to get the fastest time of the night and also gets the Palm Wonderful run of the night where... with Jake Murray and Meghan Martin coming up next, I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. I just assumed that Meghan got it at the end there.
No, yeah, they gave it to Lauren.
Okay, well.
Which, you know, happy for Lauren, but it did kind of signal to me that we were in for some disappointment here.
Yeah, well, I feel like they could have given it to Meghan even with how she did. Like, I would not have put it past the show.
I don't think they've ever given it to a non-completion run.
I feel like they must have before, but maybe not.
Well, anyway, next up was Jake Murray, the 30-year-old ninja trainer, and he has a huge package with he's even got some testimonials. This was basically on the level of Jesse Graff's package with, like, kids are imitating him. He's got some testimonials. And he's got some tricks up his sleeve for this season. He's got some fun antics in the works. And then goes out on the bouncing spider.
I don't know if it's the best role model if he's inspiring a new generation of children to eat corn dogs.
Yeah, it's not like the healthiest food.
Yeah, his like all of the little clips of kids dressed as Jake Murray, they were all like taking a bite out of a corn dog. And I was like, is this really what we want to be promoting on this show?
Maybe he should have had like an apple.
Yeah. Or like that's Alyssa Beard's thing.
Yeah, that's Alyssa Beard's thing.
He could have had like, I don't know, even like a popsicle or something. It's not as bad.
What about a popsicle? I feel like a popsicle is worse than a corn dog.
It's the same shape. Oh, he couldn't have kept it in his fanny pack, though. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to the drawing board. It could have been like an asparagus. Like
some celery.
Yeah, celery. That's a good one.
Yeah. Maybe he could have even got like a little the peanut butter dip.
In his fanny pack, just full of loose peanut butter.
Not loose peanut butter, a little container of peanut butter.
He just opens his fanny pack and just peanut butter is like spilling out. Creamy, of course, obviously.
Of course. He's not a savage. So, yes, I believe Matt and Akbar say speed kills in unison when he goes out on the...
That was weird.
The bouncing spider. It was very strange. I feel like this happens to everyone that tries to go fast on qualifying courses at some point or another. It happened to Flip Rodriguez as well. You're going to make a small mistake at some point, especially when you're dealing with these finicky trampolines. Yeah. So Jake Murray comes out here and that's it for Jake Murray for the season. That's he really got built up and then he's gone.
Yeah, he was on Team USA and everything. This is a real fall from grace. He also came out on a Segway and then handed it off to Grant McCartney. Thought this was weird.
Yeah, he was really doing the Segway thing.
Yeah, I don't know. This is not the most devastated I've been by a shocking exit. I will be completely honest with you.
He did look very shaken by this. He looked very upset about it. And,
yeah, he did.
Yeah, I mean, understandably, this is a very, very upsetting way to go out.
Yeah.
So next we get our final montage of the night. First was Rachel Rodriguez, who goes out at the floating steps, but her girlfriend then proposes to her afterward.
We montaged a gay proposal. I'm so upset. We were asked on Twitter, Pia asked us to rant about the over montaging when we had so few finishers and we montaged like almost all of them. This is the only point at which I was mad about the montaging. A lesbian proposal. Come on.
At least they still showed it, right?
I guess. How could they not show it? That's amazing. Oh my God. It's because Brian Arnold had already taken all the proposal credit.
Oh my. Well, I feel like if she had made it further than the floating steps, they probably would have shown it. But
I don't know. Maybe they're like all proposaled out, but then cut some of the straight proposals. Like we didn't need to see all those.
All right. Well, next was Ian Dory, who got montaged here, unfortunately, and is the fourth, manages to qualify for the fourth time in a row by finishing the course. And then also Bart Copeland, who also finishes the course. And our final run of the night, Megan Martin, the 27-year-old rock climber. She's got a new job. She's modeling for a sports company.
And this is like super legit. I shop at Athleta. Sometimes I'm more of a Lulu person, but I once in a while shop at Athleta and like there is a poster of her in my local Athleta.
Oh my.
Yeah. It's like her running on the beach with two other women. And like I've seen it in like catalogs and stuff.
She's super famous.
Yeah.
Yes, she does well here. She gets a little caught up on the bouncing spider poles and then unfortunately gets uneven on the final incline of the rail runner and goes down. She said it was lopsided. She said it have some difficulty.
It was lopsided?
Yeah, I think that's what she said. Because like anybody that got uneven on that second part of the rail runner got uneven on the same side, which kind of makes it seem like maybe it was a little lopsided.
Oh, interesting. Because that obstacle definitely needed to be harder.
Oh, definitely.
So they didn't build it completely parallel. That's very strange. Yeah, but she still qualifies. This was cool because three women qualified in their own right. And so we only had two that benefited from like the new bonus women's rule. I also just want to say, like, I really liked her package because she was talking about like this idea of companies allowing or inviting people to be models that are like not the conventional body type. She's short, she's, you know, not ultra thin, she's muscular, she's not white, like all these things. So I thought that was really exciting and I'm happy for Megan and all her endeavors. And she was like, it's another thing that has made me super busy, which is something that I know to be true of Megan Martin because she's my dream podcast guest.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to get her on at some point.
Someday.
That is our episode. We only had 8 finishers, the lowest amount that we've ever had in a season of American Ninja Warrior. And as you mentioned, Pia on Twitter is like, we only had 8 finishers and we only saw what, like three of them?
Yeah.
I do think this was a pretty good episode. I feel like we had a good combination of like heartwarming, heartbreaking stories. Like there weren't too many sob stories and we had a lot of good athletes competing. But I do feel like we were underrepresented in terms of the actual finishers.
Yeah, I don't know. This episode, I didn't cry at all this entire episode. So
you don't have to cry every American Ninja Warrior episode.
But I don't mean just because something was sad, but I cry when like I'm happy, like when I'm inspired or whatever. And like, I don't know, this episode dragged a little bit for me. Like we had such a good field, but there was not a lot that like really stood out to me in terms of like packages except or like even runs, except for like Dan Yeager was, you know, obviously really exciting. I wish we'd seen like Ian Dory and people like that. I don't know. I feel like they could have done better with this episode with the field of competitors that they had.
It did seem a little strange that they chose to end the qualifying round on this episode instead of Cleveland, which I felt was probably a stronger episode.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. It was good. It was a good episode.
Yes. Well, that is it. Good. You know, it's strong field of women. We got Megan Martin, Jerry D'Aurelio, and Tammy McClure, the wine warrior.
Yes.
And for the most part, you know, anyone apart from Jake Murray, we got and John Stewart. I feel like most people were able to qualify just based on the difficulty of the course. Like, it's all about speed, and anyone who's comfortable, like a veteran, is going to get through the course faster. I feel like that is beneficial to the vets when the course is really difficult.
Yeah, that's true. I don't like when I'm fine having like difficult qualifying courses, but I don't like when they're so drastically different from each other, the qualifying courses in terms of difficulty.
Yeah.
Prefer there be less variability.
Yeah, because this season more than any, I think, felt really like, some people were really unlucky to have to do this one.
Yeah.
Versus some other ones, even just in terms of like the women, where it's like the women field is stacked in one city and not so much in other cities. Luck of the draw, I guess.
Yeah. Well, moving on to the finals.
Yes. So we will be back next week with the city finals episodes. We're finally going to start getting down to it. Not too much longer, and we're finally going to get to Vegas. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. And then we'll be able to reveal all of our antics.
Our tell-all. Yeah.
Our confessionals.
It's super exciting. Excited. Hopefully we'll get some more guests along the way.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Unless we piss them all off like we did John Stewart.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it happens. Not everybody likes our antics.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be able to get the bull rider on.
Probably not.
Hey, no Boy Scout Ninja this year, so I need a new rival.
Well, you are such a big fan of the Boy Scouts.
I know. I know everything about it. I just happen to know that's their slogan. I don't know why I know that.
All right. Well, that's it for our episode. I do have, as I briefly mentioned, The Terran Show. It is my new podcast where I interview podcasters, people in the reality TV world. So that podcast is all about getting to know people on a more personal level. It's I'm very excited about it. We recently released my first episode with my guest Rob Cesternino. I talked to him all about his the building of his empire. Rob has a podcast, and the what it takes to have the motivation and the drive and the discipline to do such a thing, and the toll that it can sometimes take on you. It was a really cool and interesting podcast. I it answered a lot of questions for me in terms of what it takes to build a very successful podcast / business on the internet. And I was really intrigued by it. And my next guest will be Brent Walgamont, my fellow live feed correspondent for Big Brother, who has lived a very interesting life. If you are interested in hearing about that. So make sure you check that out. Go to The Terran Show on iTunes if you're interested at all. Hopefully it will be a lot of fun. I'm already getting some good feedback on it. So I'm very excited to share this with you.
Have you gotten a lot of good feedback about the name?
Actually, yeah. I told Lita the name and she just laughed in my face. oh, the Taryn show. And I was like, yeah, I know. I know it's dumb. All right. But I released the name to the public and people were like, you know what? I kind of like this name. I feel like it's good. Brent himself. I thought Brent was going to, you know, be just as mean about it. But he was like, you know what? I like this name.
It's, I mean, I'm not saying it's not appropriate. Like every conversation with you is the Taryn show. So it makes sense. But... you've presented it as, I would not have laughed at you if you were like, we came up with the best name ever. I'm really excited about it. You presented it as like, this is a super dumb name, but it's so dumb that it's good. So I understand. That's fine.
Yes. Well, you know, my name is Taryn and it is a show. So, you know,
yeah, I get it. Well, yeah. Anyway, very happy for you. That sounds really exciting.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very excited. So make sure you check that out. And also, if you are into Big Brother, make sure you check out our Big Brother coverage. I'm doing daily updates on the live feeds, as well as recaps for the episodes after they air. And every Monday night, we do the LFC Roundtable podcast. So make sure you check all of that out. Lita is also doing a So You Think You Can Dance podcast. Tell us all about that.
Well, first of all, I am sometimes once in a while on the live feed updates. Taryn just never promotes it
because
he doesn't want to advance my podcasting career at all. But
yeah, disregard the fact that I invite her to be on those in the first place.
Yeah, well, it's a last resort. But I was on it yesterday. I sometimes do those. And yeah, So You Think You Can Dance, Kelly and I recorded today. If you haven't been listening, now is a really good time to start because we just started the academy. We finished the auditions and we're doing All Stars again this year. So it's a good, our podcast is a great place to get caught up on who the All Stars are because Kelly and I obviously watching the show forever. We're very familiar with them and their work. So we can get you all caught up if you missed any seasons on who these people are. So definitely check that out.
All right. So that's our show for the day. We will be back next week to talk about the first City Finals episode. Very excited about it. And we hope you enjoy it. I'm remembering to do a hashtag, but I can't think of one. Can you think of one?
Oh, my God. I didn't write anything down. What did we talk about? Oh, maybe something about The Bachelor. So get Taryn to watch The Bachelor. That's not a hashtag. That's just an instruction to all of you. To tweet at him and tell him to do it, because then he can interview Bachelor people on his show. And I think that would be extremely funny.
I have tried to watch. Just doesn't always work out.
How much did you really try, though?
I've watched two first episodes.
Which seasons?
I don't know. The last two.
Okay. Rachel season and
one
Nick's?
Had the crazy dude that everyone thought went crazy. And then the most recent one.
Oh, so you watched JoJo's season with Chad?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, JoJo's season sucked. But okay. How about we do hashtag bachelor person? Cause that's what you said. Ryan's job is.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll do a hashtag bachelor person. Make sure you tweet at us. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Lita is at Lita tweeted. You can find us on robhasawebsite.com to leave a comment if you want to. Also, make sure you go to Instagram to follow Lita there. It's in Lita Grammed.
Yes.
Is that okay? Lita Grammed. Is that L-I-T-A Grammed with two M's or one M?
Two M's.
Okay.
Otherwise, it would be Lita Grammed.
You never know. I don't know about these things.
Okay. Well, you should get on Instagram.
Yeah. And also, for anyone that doesn't know how to spell Taryn, it's T-A-R-A-N. But, I know that's you know, people don't know how to spell it. I recognize that I made the name of my podcast, The Taryn Show, and nobody ever spells my name right. So I need to start telling people how to spell it.
Wow. I cannot imagine what it's like to have people not know how to spell your name. I literally cannot envision that.
Sarcasm.
Yeah, well, I have a less common name than you do, so I know the struggle.
Whoa. Wow. All right. Wow. Let's get into a fight about whose name is more rare and
I'm
special.
Just saying, I understand. Everybody always thinks
you chose your name. You made your own name. You don't get to say that yours is worse. You chose it. I didn't choose Taryn.
Well, then you could have chosen a different name.
That's no.
It's very easy.
You don't get to get into a my name is specialer off. My name is harder to spell off.
It's
when you made it in the first place.
No, it's not a competition. I'm just saying I understand the struggle because people always think it's like the Greek myth, L-E-D-A, and it's not. It's not that.
Yeah, well, it happens. All right. Make sure you also subscribe to us on iTunes. American Ninja Warrior, Rahap Ups. It's R-H-A-P Ups. all one word. And you can also go to the Reality TV Wrap Ups feed on iTunes, where you can find this show, the So You Think You Can Dance show, and the Taran show. All those shows, they'll be on the Reality TV Wrap Ups feed. So make sure you check that out. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been a blast. We will see you next time.